শিলা গদাধর পণ্ডিত ওয়াজ অ্যান ইটার্নাল অ্যাসোসিয়েট অফ শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু। শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু ইজ রাধা কৃষ্ণ, দ্যাট ইজ কৃষ্ণ অ্যাপিয়ার্ড with the mood and complexion of Srimati Radharani. Radha bhavodduti subalitam naomi Krishna swarupam. Krishna appeared with the Radha bhav and duti, the internal mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So also it has been explained that when Radha and Krishna become one, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then and also we get to hear or we get to know from the scriptures that Srimati Radharani also appeared as Gadadhar Pandit. So this Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani. The question then is that Radha and Krishna became one. So Krishna, Radharani is there with Krishna as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then how can you say that Radharani again appeared as Gadadhar Pandit? So in this context we have to understand that the spiritual reality is inconceivable. In the spiritual reality, one can become many and many also can become one. Like Radharani's identity is there, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the same time, Radharani is there as Gadadhar Pandit. This point has been explained that when Krishna decided to play the role of Srimati Radharani, Krishna is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, playing the role of Srimati Radharani. Assume the mood of Srimati Radharani. Practically, Krishna became Radharani. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Krishna decided to play the role of Srimati Radharani, then Radharani decided to watch how Krishna plays that role. And that is Gadadhar Pandit. So he appeared as Gadadhar Pandit. Like the spiritual reality is inconceivable. Like when it is said that Radha Bhavad Duti Subalitam, so that means Radharani is in totality in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this respect an example has been given that Srimati Radharani is Mahabhav. The personification of Mahabhav is Srimati Radharani. Mahabhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani. Srimati Radharani is the personification of Mahabhav. And Krishna has accepted the bhav of Srimati Radharani. So that means Radharani is in totality in Krishna, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in one hand, Srimati Radharani is in totality, completely within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but at the same time, Radharani again has assumed or appeared as Gadadhar Pandit. So here, we recognize that, yes, Radharani has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and as Gadadhar Pandit. And as Gadadhar Pandit, he is a little younger than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But from their childhood, they had been very, very intimate friends, very close to each other, from their childhood only. And Gadadhar Pandit was very attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. श्री श्री गौर निताय की, श्रील गदाधर पंडित की, श्रील भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर की, समवेत भक्त वृंद की, गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि। एंड इट हैज बीन डिस्क्राइब्ड दैट दे आर ऑलवेज टुगेदर। गदाधर पंडित वाज एक्सट्रीमली अटैच्ड टू चैतन्य महाप्रभु and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely attached to Gadadhar Pandit from their childhood. And their nature was very different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, in his childhood, he was quite naughty. He was quite aggressive. He was quite dynamic. Whereas Gadadhar Pandit was very, very mellow, very submissive, very, very calm and composed, very quiet, and he was very renounced from his childhood. Yet, they were very intimate friends. And apparently Gadadhar Pandit was an extreme admirer of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gadadhar Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to school together. They studied in school together, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was senior. Those days, the school means they used to go to the Guru's ashram. And they used to study. There would be various grades of students all studying under the one teacher. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely brilliant, and so was Gadadhar Pandit. Both of them were extremely brilliant personalities, but their nature was very, very different. Then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to perform the Shraddha ceremony of his father, departed father, then he met Ishwar Puri again there, and he took initiation from him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely transformed after his initiation. Prior to his initiation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu apparently was very arrogant, very aggressive. He was extremely scholarly, very learned, very wise. He was an exponent of Naya, and he used to challenge everybody. And many devotees like Sri Vash Thakur used to wonder that if Nimai Pandit became a devotee, it would be so wonderful. The spiritual community, the devotee community would be blessed if Nimai became a devotee. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes used to tell him that, yes, that will happen someday. And when I become a devotee, you all will be awestruck seeing my devotion. And that's exactly what happened after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation. He was completely transformed. And he became like mad in Krishna prema. He was always crying, calling out the names of Krishna. And sometimes he used to become so overwhelmed with his emotion for Krishna that he used to incessantly cry and cry, saying, where is Krishna? Kaha jao, kaha pao, Brajendra Nandan. Where can I find Brajendra Nandan, Sri Krishna? And so one day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was crying like that, Gadadhar Pandit told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Why are you crying like this? Krishna is there in your heart. He is there in your heart. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, with his nails he was trying to scratch his chest open. He was became so intensely searching for Krishna's, for Krishna, that he started to behave like that. And Gadadhar was completely confused now, what to do now that I have, thank you, now that I have told him and now he is behaving in such a way. So then Gadadhar quickly told him that, don't worry, Krishna has just gone somewhere, he'll come back soon. So when he told that to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhat reassured and he became a little composed. So Sachi Mata saw that, and Sachi Mata then told Gadadhar, although he is young, but he is so intelligent. And he told Gadadhar Pandit to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time and take care of him. And Gadadhar Pandit took this instruction, took this advice seriously, and he stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Already he was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time. And now that Sachimata specifically asked him to stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took it upon himself. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtan movement, Gadadhar Pandit was always with him in that Sankirtan. In Shivashangan, they used to have their Sankirtan. Gadadhar Pandit was always there. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to take sannyas. And when he left home to take sannyas, Gadadhar Pandit was with him. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Jagannath Puri. Gadadhar Pandit was with him. So he was always with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But one problem occurred, that Gadadhar Pandit in Jagannath Puri took Kshetra Sannyas. Kshetra Sannyas is a kind of acceptance of sannyas with a vow to remain in that holy place and not leave that place. For example, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Kshetra Sannyasi. He, although he was a householder, but he was a sannyasi. He took the vow to stay in Jagannath Puri all the time. So Gadadhar Pandit also took this vow. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now decided to go to Vrindavan. And when Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan, Gadadhar Pandit also wanted to go with him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped him. He said, look, you have taken the vow of Kshetra Sannyas, so you should not break your vow. And Gadadhar Pandit said that that he took sannyas, Kshetra Sannyas. The sannyas is actually to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sannyas is to get Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So he said, I don't care about my sannyas, because the purpose of sannyas is to get you. So I'm going to go with you. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very strongly prevented him from going with him. And he left. At that time, Gadadhar Pandit fainted. Gadadhar Pandit was an expert in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam Gadadhar Pandit's recitation and narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit used to recite and the tears used to flow from his eyes. And in Bhakti Ratnakar it has been described that when Srinivas Acharya went to Jagannath Puri, he came across, his ambition was to study Srimad Bhagavatam under his tutelage, Gadadhar Pandit's tutelage. He wanted to study under Gadadhar Pandit. But by the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already left this planet, so Gadadhar Pandit was so heartbroken that he told that he could not teach anymore, he could not read Srimad Bhagavatam anymore. And he gave his personal copy of Srimad Bhagavatam to Srinivas Thakur, Srinivas Acharya Thakur. And what Srinivas Acharya got, it was actually a Bhagavatam handwritten on palm leaves. And many of the pages, many of the leaves, the writing has been obliterated with the tears of Gadadhar Pandits. Like such incessant flow of tears that the letters got wiped out. And soon after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Gadadhar Pandit also left this planet. So today is the day when Gadadhar Pandit left this planet. That is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came Saparshad Shiyodham Shahu Abhutari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came along with his associates, Sangha Pangastra Parshadam. So, Gadadhar Pandit was his Parshad, Nitya Parshad, eternal associate. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, he also went with him, soon after him, his disappearance. Today also is the disappearance day, celebration of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in 1838. He was another very, very important personality in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is going on in his through his Sankirtan movement. The Sankirtan movement is actually an extension of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham and his teachings disappeared. There was a flood and the dham of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Navadvip and Mayapur, disappeared in that flood. That means it got covered over and then it was practically lost. And so was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Mahaprabhu's teachings were lost by the influence of the upper sampradayas. That means there are many unscrupulous individuals. They, in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they started to present their own concocted ideas. So, these upper sampradayas have been classified as 13 in number. There are many of them. Aul, Baul, Lara, Lady. These are the different types of Upper Sampradaya. There is a kind of Upper Sampradaya. They claim that they are known as Auls and Bauls. They claim that they are Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. But they are teaching, they do not really follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and act according to his teachings. For example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are based on absolute pure conduct, totally free from sinful reactions of meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. Like we know that in order to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to follow these four regulative principles. We have to give up meat eating completely. No non-vegetarian food, not even onions and garlic. Not even that. One has to offer everything to Krishna and take it as Krishna's prasad. So devotees are not only vegetarians, they are actually prasadatarians. They take only Krishna prasad. And so their food habit is very pure. They don't take any kind of intoxication, not even tea or coffee. Then devotees abstain from immoral activities, illicit activities. Their life is based on total morality. No inappropriate relationship with anybody. And then their life is based on truthfulness. So austerity, mercy, cleanliness and truthfulness. This is the foundation of a devotee's life. But many of these upper sampradayas, their whole activities were actually based on breaking these regulative principles. Their behavior is very, very unclean. Like these Bauls, their the whole system is based on taking intoxication. They take ganja, marijuana, hashish, opium. Some of them even drink alcohol. And they claim themselves to be the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not only that, to qualify to be a Baul, one has to have an affair with somebody else's wife. Their understanding is that you can't understand Radha Krishna's love affair. It's a very, very gross kind of concept. But it's becoming, it's very prevalent, it's very popular, especially in Bengal and in that part of India. They have their festivals and thousands of people come. So that shows the popularity. And like, why it's popular? Because any activity that allows you to become involved in immoral activities, that becomes very popular. In today's age we see in Kali Yuga, the sinful activities are very, very much prevalent because that is Kali's influence. So this is how these people are actually the Kali's agents, Kali's chala. They look like Vaishnava. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually came to smash them, to expose them, and give the right understandings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He spoke about these so-called Vaishnavas, those who go on in the name of Vaishnavas. They are known as Vaishnavas. People think that they are Vaishnavas. Not only Vaishnavas, they think that they are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Aul, Baul, Lara, they shave their heads. Lara, Nara means shaved head. Nara and then Neri. The female also shave their heads. The male ones are known as Naras and the female ones are known as Neris. They were actually a group of Buddhists. They also started to claim that they are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. Then Karta Bhaja, Shai, Sahajiya, Sokhi Bheki. There is another group. They are male, but they dress up like female. Sakhis. Their understanding is that one has to be a Sakhi in Krishna's pastimes to understand or follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sakhi Bheki means dressed as a Sakhi. They dress up like a woman. Male, but they dress up like in saris. Sakhi Bheki, Churadhari. They keep long hair and then tie it up at a knot on their head, top of their head. Then Smarthas also, Jati Gosai. The caste Goswamis. So with their influence, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings were completely lost. So at that time, to revive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent a very special personality. And that is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Those days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings were there, but they were just in some remote corners. Some Bhajanandi Vaishnavas were actually retaining these teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But otherwise, in general, what was going on in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings were extremely undesirable and fallen. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared at a time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings were practically lost. He appeared in a very aristocratic family. But he lost his father when he was young. And he was brought up in his maternal grandfather's house. His maternal grandfather was a big landlord, not too far from Mayapur, Navadvip, in a place called Birnagar. They still have their palatial building there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's grandfather, maternal grandfather, was a very prominent person, very wealthy landlord. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was brought up in his maternal grandfather's house. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that from his childhood he had been blessed with good association. He never had any influence of bad association. And from his childhood he was a devotee of the Lord. Sometimes he used to, when as a young boy, he used to go to pick mangoes and other fruits in the garden. Like children, I don't know, in the West you probably don't have the opportunity. But in India, one of the youthful, young pastimes is to go to the garden and steal fruits. Or not steal, but just pick fruits and eat them. Especially green mangoes. They're very sour and very tasty when you're young. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur also in his young days used to go to pick fruits in the garden. And he used to feel very afraid of ghosts. Because in such situation you feel a little apprehensive. So one of the servants once told Bhaktivinoda Thakur that when you chant the name of Ram, then the ghost will run away. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the afternoon used to go to the garden, he used to always chant the name of Ram. So this is how indirectly he started to develop his attachment to the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a brilliant scholar from his young days only. He was an extremely brilliant personality. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he grew up, he went to Calcutta to further his studies. And those days, actually, the British established their colony in India. And Calcutta was the first place they actually went to. The British went as traders to India, and first they established, their first establishment was in Calcutta. And quite incidentally, the place that they decided to set up their establishment was a few villages. And they were Sutanati, Govindapur, like these were the two principal villages. And one of the villages actually belonged to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's ancestors that the British acquired from them. The Dattas of Hatkola were very famous landlords also. And the British actually took that land from them. And anyway, the point that I was trying to make is that the British went and established themselves very systematically in India. They first went as the traders and established a company called the East India Company. That was the first establishment of the British in India, the East India Company. It was in Calcutta. And then they sent their missionaries, the Christian missionaries, to establish themselves even more firmly. It's quite interesting that I am talking about the British history in London, what they did in India. And about that, one philosopher, American philosopher called Will Durant, mentioned that Christianity was a religion for first few years. Then it became a philosophy. Then it became a political convenience. So this is the third phase of Christianity, when it became a political convenience. Like the colonials actually used Christianity to establish their colonies. Wherever they went, they sent their missionaries first. And those missionaries went and they established their church. And along with the church came the education system, British education system. It was mostly those educationists were priests. And most of the schools were actually Christian missionary schools. And and this is how they actually introduced an education system through which they established themselves in different countries, especially in India. And many people from the high-class families Actually, the education is naturally, in, especially in India, was for the high class people. The farmers and villagers, they are not so interested in education. It's like education is used to be meant for some exclusive individuals. And so that became the fashion those days, or the trend those days, to send the children to English schools or education system that has been established by the Britishers. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also was a product of that system. Like he went to the college in Calcutta that was established by the Britishers. And he became educated in that system, and he eventually became a very prominent government officer. Like those days, the British in India used to educate them, intelligent class of people, with English education or their system of education, and then they would give them jobs, important positions in the government service. And they became the role models of the society. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur eventually, first he became a school teacher, and then gradually he entered into government service and he became a deputy magistrate. It was a very, very exalted position those days, to be the practically the head of certain area. He was the sole controller of certain area, deputy magistrate. And those days, especially in Bengal, many thoughtful individuals were becoming averse to Indian religious custom, the Hindu customs, because it was so orthodox and so superstitious. It was like what was going on in the Hindu community at that time was very, very undesirable also. Like the system like untouchability, the sati system, like, and all these were turning the educated, intelligent class of people away from the Hindu culture. And many of them are becoming Christians, which was actually expected. The missionaries went to India to convert into Christianity. But the root of Hinduism or Hinduism was so deep that very few actually became Christians. Although the British ruled over India for a few hundred years, but the number of Christians were not that many in India. But still, some people were becoming Christians, and that caused some concern to some thoughtful people, like Prince Dwarkanath Thakur, Rabindranath Tagore's grandfather, Ram Mohan Roy. These are some persons who wanted to stop this conversion into Christianity. So they combined the Hinduism and Christianity and made a kind of a blending called Brahma Samaj. The Brahmas, they take the impersonal Vedantic concept and they blend it with the progressive attitude of Christianity, and they started a community called Brahma Samaj. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur initially was influenced by this Brahma Samaj. And the Brahma Samaj was very much trying to use Bhaktivinoda Thakur as one of... He was such a brilliant person that they wanted to use him for their purpose. or considered that he would be a big catch. But it is around that time Bhaktivinoda Thakur came across Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So, and he became so impressed that he saw that this is the way, this is the real Vedic understanding, this is the essence of the Vedic philosophy, Vedic way of life. And he was looking for, he heard about Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, but he couldn't find a Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we can see how badly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings were lost, that after 8 years of search for a Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur couldn't find one. Then eventually he found one copy in Odisha near Bhadrak. In a place he got a handwritten copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he then gave his personal commentary on that Chaitanya Charitamrita, Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, and printed that Chaitanya Charitamrita and started to distribute it. So this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually started the revival of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings in India. And he was involved in a very high-ranking government service, so he didn't have so much time. But he forced a kind of a transfer of his service near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham in Krishnanagar. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, during his spare time, he used to go to these places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So in one hand, he was reviving the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and at the same time, he was also visiting the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And in course of his visit to those places, he saw that the descriptions of those places in the scripture, like Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat and Bhakti Ratnakar, is not really tallying with the location of those places. So that caused him some doubt. Like, for example, it is said that Navadvip, the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth, is on the eastern bank of Ganga. But what was going on as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace was on the western bank. Actually, what happened, that Mahaprabhu's dham was lost soon after Mahaprabhu's disappearance. Navadvip disappeared due to a massive flood. And then some unscrupulous people, they just got a place, they just identified some place as Mahaprabhu's birthplace. They identified different places as related to Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Oh, this is Shiva Shangan, this is Advaita Bhavan, and so forth. So those places were actually going on as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place of pastimes, which is present Navadvip actually. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur began to wonder, like, why was that? Like, he couldn't figure out. Then one night, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was sitting, he actually set up his establishment, her house, in near Mayapur, Navadvip, real Navadvip, and also fake Navadvip. in a place called Swarupganj. His Sananda Sukhada Kunja, his house was known as Sananda Sukhada Kunja. The Kunja where, which is the giver of ultimate happiness and eternal bliss of Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur then stayed, and he was staying at that place. And from there, one night when he was sitting on the roof of his building, there was one of his sons was with him, and his secretary, his clerk, he was doing some official work with his clerk at home at night. And all of a sudden he saw that the other side of the river, Jalangi, just lit up with a beautiful light. And then in that light he saw a transcendental city where devotees were chanting and dancing in ecstasy. And not only he saw devotees from all over the world. There were people from different countries, they were all chanting the holy name of the Lord. And he was quite excited to see that sight. Then he asked his clerk whether he saw anything. The clerk said no, he didn't see anything. But then he asked his son whether he saw something. And he described the same thing that he saw. And so this is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually got the vision of Mayapur, the real Mayapur, which was not in Navadvip, but on the eastern bank of the river Ganges, in the confluence of Jalangi and Ganga. Actually, it's the confluence of Ganga and Saraswati. Jalangir. Jalang means water. Gira means speech. Padanang gadgada ruddhaya gira. So who is the goddess of speech? Saraswati. Bakadevi. So that is why this is a colloquial name of Saraswati as Jalangir. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw that place. So the next morning he went to the other side of the river. And there was nothing. So he was searching. But that location where he saw that village, saw the transcendental city, he found that was a Muslim village. And there he saw a very strange sight. He saw that there was a neem tree and there was a forest of tulasi around that neem tree. Now tulasi actually is very sensitive. She doesn't grow where sinful activities go on. So in a Muslim village you don't usually find tulasi. But although it was a Muslim village, this forest of tulasi was there surrounding the neem tree. So he suspected that probably that is the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So he asked some local people what was the name of the village, and they said that the name of the village is Miyapur. So in Arabic, Mia means Mr. It got distorted into an Arabic name. Mayapur became Miyapur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur became more confirmed that this must be the place. But still he did not want to become completely confident about it until he confirmed it with somebody. So at that time the most exalted Vaishnava was Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He was well over 100 years old. He was about 140 at that time. He could not walk. One of his followers, one of his disciples, whenever he had to go somewhere, he used to carry him. On a basket, he used to sit on the basket and he used to carry him on his head. This is how he used to carry Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So he was so physically, apparently inactive. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur decided to confirm about that place through Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So he brought Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj to that place. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who couldn't walk, who couldn't stand, just jumped up and started to dance in ecstasy, jumping high in the sky, saying, "This is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eito Mahaprabhu Janmasthan. This is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So that is why Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's pranam mantra is Gauravir Bhava Bhumestang Nirdishta Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha. So Gaura Abir Bhava Bhumestam. Gaura is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Abir Bhava means appearance and Bhumi means land. He is the personality who indicated Nirdeshta. He indicated the place of birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sajjana Priya, he is very, very dear to the saintly personalities. Vaishnava, he is the Vaishnava Sarvabhauma. He is the monarch of the Vaishnava community. So that is Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And then he started to find various other places. Then he saw that Chatkaji's Samadhi was nearby. And then that Chatkaji's Samadhi was still there. And then he also established Shivashangan, Advaita Bhavan, Gadadharangan, and all those places. So that is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has some resemblance to the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami with a very special assignment. What was the assignment that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan? To establish Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to establish the scriptural understanding of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and to revive or to retrieve the places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Krishna's pastimes also were lost. And the Goswamis of Vrindavan actually went, this Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, the six Goswamis. They were reviving the places of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So, in this way, there is some resemblance with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the Goswamis. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also re-established Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also discovered the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had been identified as the seventh Goswami. There was a very exalted Vaishnava at that time. His name was Shishir Kumar Ghosh. He was a very influential person. He actually established a newspaper at that time in Calcutta, called Jugantar in Bengali and Amrita Bazaar in English. So Shishir Kumar Ghosh, he is also known as Mahatma Shishir Kumar Ghosh. He identified Bhakti Vinod Thakur as the seventh Goswami. And that is the book that I was telling that Rupa Vilas Prabhu wrote, the seventh Goswami. Maybe someday Rupa Vilas, you can hear from Rupa Vilas Prabhu the pastimes of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, because he is a real authority on that. So in brief, in short, I just tried to describe some of the activities, pastimes of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a brilliant personality. His scholarship, I mean, he was not only a scholar, he was such a profound philosopher and such a prolific writer. He wrote poetry with equal expertise and talent in three different languages. In Sanskrit, in Bengali. Bengali songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you have read many of them, I'm sure. Like what we sang today was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing. What kind of poetry? How did you like that poetry? Shuddha bhakata charano renu bhajanayonukul bhakata seva paramo siddhi premalati karamo. There are so many such poems. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jibe Daya Kori Shapar Shad Shiyadham Shahu Abhotari Uttanto Durlabho Prem Kori Baridan Shikhaye Sharanagati Bhakotero Pran Or Manasa Deha Geha Jo Kichumor Orpilu Tuapade Nanda Kishor. This is not quite Bengali, this is actually Maithili. And then his Sanskrit poetries are Jadite Haripada Saroja Sudha Rasapana Param Ridayam Satatam Parihitta Griham Kalibhava Mayam Bhajagodra Makana Nakunja Vidham Ramani Janasanga Sukhancha Sakhe Charame bhayadang purushartha haram Taja gramma katha sakalang bifalam Bhaja godru makana na kunja bithum. So these are his writings in Bengali and Sanskrit. And through poetry he is actually presenting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. What a brilliant personality. And he wrote in with a similar expertise in English as well. So I got one song printed. It is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Shadagrahi Vaishnava. This actually has 23 stanzas, but I selected only 10. Of them. And it goes like, alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid forms their hearts forever employ. Actually, you'll notice why I selected this song is because in this poetry, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness just in one poem, just in one poetry. Like, see, I selected only 10, and I think the 10 will give the clear understanding of this. Alas for those who spend their days, I pity those people, who spend their day, I feel I feel sad, I feel bad, I feel pity for, alas, for those who spend their days, how? In festive mirth and joy. The dazzling, deadly liquid forms, the objects of allurements of the material nature have been described as the dazzling. They're dazzling. At the same time, they're deadly. And liquid. Transient. Temporary. All these objects of enjoyment in this material nature has been described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the dazzling, deadly, liquid forms their hearts forever employ. Their hearts are always attracted to these objects of sense gratification in this material nature. Isn't that the condition of a living entity in this material nature, a conditioned soul in this material nature? The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. The condition of these people are like that of a drunkard. What is a drunkard's mentality? The shining bottles of alcohol charm their eyes and draw their heart's embrace. And these people who have become the slaves of wine, the drunkards, they can never rise from what we call disgrace. Their life is so full of disgrace. Their life is so pathetic. Their life is so ungracious. They're rolling in the gutter. But they're thinking they have become the king of this world. Or at least when they're drunk, they think that way. When they suffer from hangover, that's another story. The flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame a chain. The soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. We are thinking that this body made of flesh, bone and blood is our body. We are identifying ourselves with this body. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, the flesh is not our own, alas. This mortal frame is actually a chain, is a bondage. The mortal frame a chain, the soul confined for former wrongs. The soul, the spirit soul has become confined, become imprisoned in this body for our previous mistakes, previous wrongs, previous sinful activities. What is the sin that we have become imprisoned in this body? What is the sin? Rejection of Krishna. Should try to rise again from this bondage of this body. Our life is but a rosy hue, to go ye long to naught. The soul alone would last forever with good and evil fraught. How is the life? The life is just like a rosy hue. To go ere long to naught. From here it will go into nothing. It will end very soon. After a few years only. But the soul alone would last forever. The soul will last forever. The body will perish, but the soul will remain. It will last forever. With good and evil fraught. The way we acted, that will go with the soul in the form of the subtle body as the karmic reactions. The good actions will lead to enjoyment and bad actions will lead to suffering. So the soul will be there forever, even after death. But the subtle body, with the carrying our karma, will go along with the soul. Man's life to him a problem dark, a screen both left and right. No soul hath come to tell us what exists beyond our sight. Man's life to him a problem dark. A man's life to him is like a dark problem. A screen both left and right, depicting the past and future. And nobody has come to tell us what actually exists beyond our sight. Beyond our sense perception, there is another reality, the spiritual reality. But unfortunately, no one has come to tell us about that reality. But then a voice, how deep and soft, within ourselves is felt. Man, man, thou art immortal soul, the death can never melt. Then a voice, how deep and soft, within ourselves is felt, which gives us the information, man, man, thou art immortal soul. Your actual identity is not this body. Your actual identity is that you are a spirit soul. And that can be never destroyed by death. The death, you, your actual identity, spiritual identity, cannot be destroyed through death. Forget the past that slips and never, the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. Forget the past. Don't dwell in the past. It's gone. Forget the past that sleeps. And never, future dream at all. And don't also dream about your future. Forget the past that sleeps, never future dream at all. But act in times that are with thee. The time that is with you, the present, act on that. Be here now. Bhaktivinoda Thakur figured it out long before. Be here now. But act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. And that is the real progress. Maintain thy post in spirit world as firmly as you can. Let never matter push thee down, O stand heroic man. Maintain thy post in spirit world. Your post, your situation in the spiritual platform is your real platform. So maintain that post. Maintain thy post in spirit world as firmly as you can. Let never matter push thee down. Don't allow matter to push you down. Oh, stand heroic man. Be a real hero and maintain your post like a hero. Where? Not in the bat, but the royal, but in the spiritual sky, in the spiritual world. O Shara Grahi Vaishnava soul. So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses one Sanskrit expression. Saragrahi. Saragrahi means one who extracts the essence, one who accepts the essence, sar. Sar means the essence. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur through that is indicating a swan-like personality. Do you know what is the special characteristic of a swan? A swan can separate milk from water. It takes only the milk and rejects the water. Similarly, a Paramahamsa, a Hamsa-like personality, swan-like personality, a Vaishnav, a pure devotee of the Lord, he can separate spirit from matter. Separates spirit from matter. He accepts the spiritual thing, and rejects the material. So therefore, he is identifying this pure devotee Vaishnav as Sharagrahi Vaishnav. O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. You are like an angel, fair angel. Lead me on. Please lead me on to Vrindavan. And spirit's power declare. And declare the power of the spirit soul. There rests my soul from matter free upon my lover's arms. There in Vrindavan, my soul rests, becoming free from the bondage of matter in the loving embrace of our eternal lover, Shri Krishna. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. There I achieve the eternal peace and the spirit's love, and that is all my chanting charms. The result of chanting Hare Krishna is transportation to Vrindavan and lose ourselves in the loving embrace of Krishna. So that is the goal of life.